Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. In this episode of Word Magazine, we're going to be doing another text note, and we're going to be doing a text note on Matthew chapter 4. If you've been following this podcast, you know that I've been preaching through the Gospel of Matthew on Lord's Day mornings in my church, and as I started the series of expositions through the Gospel of Matthew, I decided that I would do a concurrent sort of study of the text of Matthew. And what I've been doing is trying at the end of each chapter, when I finish a chapter, to go back and look at Bruce Metzger's textual commentary and to see what he offered comments on as significant textual variants within that particular chapter. When moving on, finishing a chapter, moving on to the next. So several weeks ago, I finished preaching through Matthew 4, and I've actually, the last two Sundays, been preaching in Matthew chapter 5. I did two messages on the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. But before I got too far gone into Matthew 5, I thought it might be good to do a podcast looking at some text notes on Matthew chapter 4. One of the things about Bruce Metzger, and I, by the way, have a previous podcast that I've done on Word Magazine on the life and legacy of Bruce Metzger, but Bruce Metzger was probably the most influential English-speaking textual critic of the 20th century, particularly the second half of the 20th century. But he did a lot of writing, and he did a lot of editing. And I like to say that Bruce Metzger never met a book that he didn't want to edit. If he ever came out with one edition, you could be sure that in a few years he's going to come up with another edition and a corrected edition of that and a corrected edition of that and so forth. But he did put together this influential textual commentary on the Greek New Testament. I think the first edition came out in 1971. I have this first edition, but it's the corrected edition that's dated 1975. And so this is the first edition of the textual commentary, corrected edition, 1975. And then I've also got the second edition that came out in 1994. And obviously, they're two different editions, so there are some things that are different between the two of them. And when you turn to Matthew chapter 4, you find, first of all, first observation is there are not a lot of comments that are made on Matthew chapter 4, meaning that from Metzger's perspective, there are not a lot of significant variants that are found in Matthew chapter 4. If you look at the first edition of Metzger's textual commentary, in fact, you find that there are only three passages where there are notes about the variants. The first one is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, where the reading hupage, depart, where Jesus is saying to Satan as a part of the temptations. And this is from the temptation narrative, and the third temptation is Satan takes Christ to a high mountain and offers him the kingdoms of the world, and Christ says, hupage satana, depart from me, Satan, or depart Satan. And he gives the reading hupage a B rating, and then the second variant that he discusses is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And this is a description of the preaching of Jesus. And it's for the Greek phrase that basically means repent, for the kingdom draws near. It's metanoiete engiken gar. So he has a notation on that, and he gives that a B rating in this first edition. And then third, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, for the phrase, in hole te Galilea, in all of Galilee. He gives that a C rating. So that was in, again, first edition, corrected edition, 1975. But when you look at the second edition, he has, and by the way, that's found on, it's on two pages in the first corrected edition. It's on pages 11 and 12, but it's probably less than one page total. It's just three small paragraphs. However, again, when you go to the second edition, 1994, you find that there are only two entries. There's an entry on chapter 4, verse 10, the Hupage, which has been upgraded now from a B rating to an A rating. There's also a note on chapter 4, verse 17, which likewise has been updated to an A rating. However, the previous entry that he had on Matthew 4:23 is no longer there. And so this is page 10 of the textual commentary, second edition, 1994. And it's reduced to just two paragraphs. And so it's about half page, if that, in the second edition. So again, Metzger never met a work that he had written or edited that he didn't want to edit again and reduce again. So I thought that we would go and we would see if we could look at the four passages or three passages, sorry, that are discussed between the two editions of the textual commentary. So I want to look at Matthew 4, verse 10, Matthew 4, verse 17, Matthew 4, verse 23. And I created a PowerPoint that might help illustrate some of this a little more clearly. And let me see if I can pull that up, and we could begin our discussion of these three passages where there are variants identified from Metzger in this fourth chapter of Matthew. Okay, so here's the PowerPoint. Again, we're going to look at Matthew 4, verse 10, Matthew 4, 17, Matthew 4, verse 23. And so let's begin with Matthew 4, 10. As I've already noted, this is from the temptation narrative. And the issue is, what did Jesus say to Satan in response to the third temptation regarding the kingdoms of the world? Did he say, depart thee hence, Satan? And actually, as we're going to see in a moment, the TR, the received text, is actually the same reading as found in the modern critical text. So that it says in Matthew 4:10, Hupage Satana, same text. Now, what's going to be interesting about Matthew 4:10 is that in the majority text or the Byzantine text, there appears a prepositional phrase. There's a preposition behind or after, and then the pronoun me. So Wilbur Pickering, for example, in his translation of his edition of the majority text, renders the statement in Matthew 4:10, get behind me, Satan. So it's hupage apizo me in the majority text. So let's take a look at Matthew 4:10 and see if we can draw some observations on it. The first observation is Matthew 4:10 is a place where the TR reading departs from the majority text, and it agrees with the modern critical text reading. Now, the received text, the TR, very often, most often, agrees with the so-called majority text or Byzantine text. But there are some cases where the TR departs from the majority text. Doesn't always agree when it departs from the majority text with the modern critical text, but in this case it does. And what I've done here is I've given you, five Greek editions of the New Testament to compare. And by the way, I'm going to put this PowerPoint on my blog at jeffriddle.net. And so I drew these from an online resource, BibleGateway.com. So if you look at the PowerPoint, you can hit the links and look at the text yourself online. So the first of these that I've provided, it's marked TR-1550, that's the Stephanus text. And you can see it says, Tote lege auto, then says to him, Ha Jesus, Jesus, hupage satana, and in the King James Version, it's rendered as get thee hence. It's just simply the second person imperative, hupage satana, gegraptai gar, for it is written, kurion tam theon su pros kunuses kai auto mano latroises, for it is written, the Lord your God you will worship, and you will serve him only. Let me see the way it's rendered in the King James Version in Matthew 4, verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The next one that's listed here is WHNU. That's the Westcott and Hort. That's the 1881 Westcott and Hort. And you'll notice that it is exactly the same. Tote lege auto ha Jesus hupage satana gegrapta gar kuriantan theon su proskineses kai auto mano latroi seis. Anyways, then the next one, the TR 1894, this is going to be the Scrivener's edition that's printed by the Trinitarian Bible Society. And you'll see it's exactly the same. Next is going to be the Society of Biblical Literature, Greek New Testament of 2010. This is a modern critical text. And you will notice that apart from some of the grammatical insertions, commas, and semicolons, it is going to be exactly the same as well. There's some different punctuation. But there's actually the capitalization there. Hupage is capitalized. But it's exactly the same word for word, letter for letter. Then, finally, I've listed the Tyndale House Greek New Testament 2017. And you will also notice that it is exactly the same as the Stephanus 1550, as the Scrivener. So this is a case where, again, the TR agrees with the modern critical text consensus on this verse. And it departs from this last one that I've listed here, which is the majority text. And I've chosen here a representation of the majority text, which is the patriarchal Orthodox text of 1904. This is the text that is used by Eastern Orthodox Christians. And you can see that there is added here apizo mu, a prepositional phrase. Apizo is behind or after, and mu, the pronoun me. So it's hupage apizo mu satana. And that's why Wilbur Pickering had rendered it, get behind me, Satan. So that is the basic variant that is found in Matthew 4:10. So I picked up the Nestle-Lawn 28th edition, looked at the critical apparatus just to see what is the listing for the so-called external evidence regarding Matthew 4:10. And this is what I found. The TR reading, which agrees with modern critical text, is a minority reading. It's not the reading found in the majority of extant manuscripts. It's found in Aleph, which is Sinaiticus. It's found in B, Vaticanus. It is in the original hand of C, apparently. It is in K, it is in P, it is in Washingtoniensis, Codex W. It is in Delta, and it's found in some early versions like the Latin Vulgate and the Syriac Peshitta. But again, it's not the reading that's found in the majority of manuscripts. With regard to the internal evidence, let me read the entry that is found in Metzger. And the entry in the first and second editions of Metzger is exactly the same. I'll just read the entry from the first edition. So he writes, if the words apizo mu behind me were originally in the text, no satisfactory reason can be found to account for their omission. On the other hand, if they were originally absent, copyists who recalled the words of Jesus to Peter, hupage apiso mu satana in Matthew 16:23, where there is no variation of reading, this would likely have been, it would have been likely to supply them here. So Metzger's suggestion is that the majority text reading has been influenced by the reading found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23 here. And this is the account where Peter makes his confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Christ says the Son of Man has to suffer. And Peter tries to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus says in Matthew 6:23, get thee behind me, Satan. So Metzger suggests that the majority text reading in Matthew 4:10 is a scribal, what would you call it, harmonization with Matthew 16 and verse 23. I'm not going to pass judgment on that. We don't know. It would be a speculation. But the TR reading in this case does not include the prepositional phrase. And it is interesting. The TR is often accused of being, you know, filled with harmonizations. And in my humble opinion, when there are agreements between wording within a book or between gospels, between different books, it's not necessarily a sign of weakness. However, I do think in this case, it seems that the TR has made a wise choice in having the reading simply be depart hence Satan, leave Satan, as opposed to including the prepositional phrase. Another interesting thing about Matthew 4:10 is this is a place where what we could call the Protestant editions of the Textus Receptus depart from Erasmus. The first edition of Erasmus, 1516, actually follows the majority text. It has that prepositional phrase, apizo mu, as in the majority text. And remember, Erasmus's main reason for doing his 1516 Greek New Testament was not to provide a Greek New Testament, but it was to have his new Latin translation. And in fact, he follows this in his Latin translation where it reads post me, translating apizo mu in Latin. Now, later Protestant editions of the TR, like those produced by Stephanus, which we already saw in 1550, and Beza towards the end of the 16th century, omit the prepositional phrase. Even Tyndale's 1534 English translation, which generally follows many of the readings in Erasmus's 1516, reads avoid Satan. So it also doesn't include a translation of that prepositional phrase. So this is interesting because it's a place where so often we find opponents of the TR like to think that they have this incredible dagger to throw at us where they say, well, the various printed editions of the TR don't always agree. Sometimes Erasmus doesn't agree with Stephanus, and Stephanus doesn't agree with Beza. And so they might say in this situation, well, which TR do you think is authoritative? Because the Erasmus reading has the prepositional phrase. Stephanus and Beza do not have it. But in my view, rather than being a dagger thrown at us, this is a good example of a place where we can see that later Protestant edited editions of the TR came to a general consensus that the Erasmus reading, the majority text reading, should not be followed. And so rather than this being some sort of overwhelming challenge to the integrity of the TR, I think it becomes a model for how we often see a Protestant consensus seeming to develop in the later Protestant edited editions of the TR, which generally come to agreement about what the text should be, and they certainly don't slavishly follow the first edition of Erasmus in particular. So it's an area of interest, not that I'm assiduously studying it right now, but I am, you know, interested in comparing and looking at the different editions of the TR, and particularly looking at how Erasmus's editions compare with later Protestant editions that were used then in translations of the Bible into the vernacular. So there's our first variant we wanted to look at, Matthew 4:10. Let's move on to the second of the three, and this is Matthew 4:17. And again, this is the description that we have of the teaching, or the preaching rather, of Jesus himself. And so this is Matthew 4:17 in the Authorized Version. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And so this, in the Greek text, is another place where the TR agrees with the modern critical text. But in this case, as opposed to Matthew 4:10, it's also a place where the TR, the modern critical text, and the majority text all agree. So again, you can look, I've given you once again five translations here to compare, and you will notice that the wording is all the same. There's some, maybe some bit of difference in the punctuation, commas and so forth, but the words are the same. So we can look at the Stephanus 1550, apo tote kato ha Jesus kerusein kai legain meta noiaite engiken gar he basileia ton uranon. From then, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," or is near. So again, if you just follow along, Westcott and Hort, same wording. Scribner, 1894, same wording. The SBL, Greek New Testament of 2010, same. Tenderhouse Greek New Testament, same. There's not a lot of variation here. In fact, if you look at the apparatus for the Nestle-Lan 28th edition, this variant isn't even included. There's no variant included in the apparatus, in the critical apparatus. Why then does Metzger include this in the first edition of his textual commentary as one of only three differences in Matthew 4, three key variants in Matthew 4? In the second edition, one of only two variants in Matthew chapter 4. Well, let's read his comments. And the comment here is basically the same in the first and second edition. It's a little bit edited, and so I'm just going to read what he says in the second edition. So this is what he says under Matthew 4:17. He says, "Despite the absence of the imperative, second person, person plural imperative verb for to repent, metanoiaite, despite the absence of repent and the postpositive conjunction gar, in the Old Syriac and one manuscript of the Old Latin, and although it could be argued that the words are a later assimilation of the text to Matthew 3, verse 2, the unanimity of the Greek evidence, as well as the overwhelming testimony of the rest of the versional and patristic witnesses, seemed to the committee to require that the words be retained in the text. So what this basically tells us that in this case, there aren't any major Greek manuscripts, extant Greek manuscripts, that provide evidence of a variant at Matthew 4:17. What he tells us is there are a couple of versional witnesses that omit the verb repent, the imperative repent, and the postpositive conjunction gar, so that it would read something like, then from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, the kingdom of heaven is near or is at hand. And it would exclude him saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it seems like just three manuscripts. He says the old Syriac. By that he means, I think, the Curatonian Syriac and the Sinaitic Syriac. So there are just two manuscripts that are called the old Syriac. And then one unnamed in the commentary manuscript of the old Latin. So, and he says that might hold weight with some because it could be argued that the reading in Matthew 4:17 is an assimilation, a harmonization to the description of the preaching of John. Because in Matthew 3, verse 2, there's a description of the preaching of John, and it's verbatim the same as the description of the preaching of Jesus. So in the Authorized Version in Matthew 3:2, it says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the same wording in Greek. We would reject that. It's not an assimilation to Matthew 3:2. And as Metzger agrees, there's every reason to believe that the original wording is exactly as it stands now in the Textus Receptus. And it's also the reading that's found in the majority text. It's also the reading that's found in different editions of the modern critical text, from the Westcott and Hort to Nesselon 28th edition to the Tyndale House Greek New Testament of 2017. So that covers the conversation on Matthew 4:17. Let's move on to the third variant that is discussed by Metzger in his textual commentaries. And this is Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And it's interesting that this is the one that Metzger dropped his comment from the second edition of 1994. And I'm not really sure why he did that, because actually this seems to me to be the most interesting, perhaps, and perhaps the most significant, textually speaking, of the three variants that are discussed in Matthew 4. So let's begin, let me read Matthew 4, verse 23 in the Authorized Version. It says, it's a description of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I preached on this again several weeks ago, and I talked about in my exposition of verse 23, I called it the threefold ministry of Christ, that Christ went about all Galilee teaching, preaching, and healing. So let's look at what the discrepancy is with respect to the text. So if we look at the an example of the TR, we could look at the Stephanus 1550. And you'll notice it begins Kai periegen halein tein Galilean ha Jesus didaskon in tais synagogais auton kai keruson ta evangelion tais basileas kai thera poion pasan nasan kai pasan malakion in to lao. So he went about from periago, and then it's the object here, the verb, is in the accusative, And it's, first of all, this adjective, halein, all, tain, galileon, it's, he went about all of Galilee, and then it's the subject, ha, Jesus, Jesus. And didaskon, the participle teaching, prepositional phrase, in tais synagoges auton, in their synagogues, kai, conjunction, and keruson, another participle, masculine singular participle, modifying Jesus, and preaching, ta, euangelion, the gospel, tais basileos, of the kingdom, kai, conjunction, and therapoion, another masculine participle, nominative, modifying the subject, ha, Jesus, and healing, and then it's pasan, nasan, all, sickness, kai, pasan, malakion, and all diseases or maladies, in to lao, prepositional phrase, in the people or among the people. Now, when you look at the Westcott and Hort, which is the same as the modern critical text, Nesselon, 28th edition, it says kai peri agen, and I put, you know, underlined and put in bold so you can see what the difference. It now has a prepositional phrase. See, here it's the object is given in the accusative, halein, tain, galileon. Here, though, it is a prepositional phrase, and he went about in all of Galilee. And you'll notice the subject, Jesus, does not appear in the modern critical text in the Westcott and Hort. The subject is understood to be Jesus, it's not explicitly stated. Other than that, it's the same. The same threefold participle, didaskon, keruson, therapoion. Now, the Tyndall House Greek New Testament, I listed this because it is a departure both from the TR and from the modern critical text. And so it begins kai peri agen, but you'll see it includes the subject, ha Jesus, and Jesus went about, but it is transposed in the word order, Jesus, whereas in the TR, Jesus is after the object of the verb, all of Galilee, Jesus. And here in the Tyndale House Greek New Testament, it's at the front of the sentence. And then it agrees, however, with the modern critical text in that it includes a prepositional phrase rather than the object of the verb being in the accusative. So it's kind of a combination of the TR in that it includes the explicitly Jesus as the subject, but it's like the modern critical text in that rather than having an object of the verb in the accusative, it has instead a prepositional phrase in the dative, in hole te Galilea. So this, again, this is the one that Metzger chose to remove from the second edition of 1994. And so I'm curious as to why he did that. I'm sure it was probably just a matter of space. But, I mean, why not remove the one on Matthew 4:17, which seems a simpler variant, but instead he chose to omit this one. Let's think a little bit more about this. Let me look at the external evidence for the various readings. So let's begin looking at the evidence that supports the traditional text reading. So the traditional text reading, the TR reading, is found in codices K, W, Gamma, Delta, Family 13, 565, 579, 700, 1241, and it's the majority text reading. So this is the place where it's most common. TR, majority text are the same. Notice, though, there is also a close alternative to the majority text reading, which simply moves the subject, Jesus, rather than appearing after Halein, Tein, Galileon, it moves it to the front, like in the Tyndale House Greek New Testament. And this appears in the first corrector of Sinaiticus of Aleph in D in family 1, 33, 892, 1424, lectionary 844, lectionary 2211. This is also the reading of the Old Latin, and it's found in the church father Eusebius of Caesarea. So, there's a lot of weighty external evidence for the TR reading here. What about the modern critical text? Which manuscripts support the modern critical text? I was somewhat surprised to find that only one extant Greek manuscript supports the reading that is found in the modern critical text. It's the reading found in Vaticanus. And it's not even Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, it's just Vaticanus. It's the only extant Greek manuscript that supports this reading. So it's very much a minority reading that's been chosen in the modern critical text. In addition, there are a couple of versions, including the Curatonian Syriac. What about the Tyndale House Greek New Testament, which has explicitly the subject, hyesis, but has the object of the verb, we could say, as a prepositional phrase rather than in the accusative. And it's noted in the apparatus of the Nestleon 28th edition that this is the reading that's found in the original hand of Sinaiticus, although it doesn't include the adjective hole. It's also the reading found in the original hand of C, Codex Ephraemi Rescriptus, and it's found in some versions, including the Sinaitic Syriac, the Peshitta Syriac, the Herclean Syriac, and the Coptic Boharic. I think I misspelled that, Boharic. I'll correct that one. So let's look at some analysis, and let's begin by reading what Metzger had to say about this. And again, this is only addressed in the first edition, first corrected edition of his textual commentary. He only gave it a C rating, and this is what he wrote. He said, in order to identify the subject of the verb, periagen, various manuscripts insert hyesus in different positions. In the Greek lectionary system, verse 23 begins a new pericope. The accusative, halein tein galileon, in D, and many of the later manuscripts, is an adaptation to the more usual construction after peri again. So he says this is just an assimilation to a usual construction. We'll talk about that in a minute. However, he points out that the accusative is just found in D and in many later manuscripts. But as we've already pointed out, the accusative is there in the first corrector of Sinaiticus. The accusative is there in some of the early uncials. Again, it was the it's in family one. It's in the Old Latin as far as with respect to versions. So there is evidence of the antiquity of the reading. He does not address the fact that the reading that is chosen is only supported by one extant manuscript, nor does he address the fact that this is a place where Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, the two manuscripts so prized by Westcott and Hort, they don't agree here on the reading. The evidence in favor of including the subject, hyesus, whether that is immediately after the verb or immediately after the object of the verb or the prepositional phrase following the verb, that the subject is there is the overwhelming witness of the various manuscripts. And even, again, the Tyndale House Greek New Testament comes to the conclusion that the subject, hyesus, there is original. What was Metzger talking about when he made the reference to this being a possible adaptation to the more usual construction? If you were to look ahead at Matthew 9:35, where we have a similar use of the verb. Kai, periagen, ha Jesus, tas, pales, pasas, kai, tas, komas. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages. And this is another one. Matthew 9:35 is interesting parallel to Matthew 4:23, because we've got the same threefold ministry of Jesus. What did he go about all the cities and all the villages doing? Didaskon, teaching in their synagogues, kai keruson, and preaching, tauangelion tes basileos, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, kai therapoion, and healing all their diseases, all the diseases and all kinds of sicknesses in to lao, among the people. So the reading in Matthew 9:35 is exactly what one finds in Matthew 4:23. Metzger speculates that the traditional text, the majority text, is an assimilation to this. But isn't it? Couldn't it also be simply a more compelling argument to say that this is a great exhibition of Matthew's style? This is consistent with Matthean style. And we can back that up as well with the reading that we find in Matthew. And by the way, I put here for Matthew 9:35 that this is exactly the same reading as found in the modern critical text in Westcott and Hort. And let's look at the second example. This is from Matthew 23:15. And it begins, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, hati for periagete, you go about, tain thalasan kai tain zeron. You go about the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he is, you make him twice a son of Gehenna as yourselves, as you. And so here, it's again the verb periago, and again it's taking an object in the accusative, not with a prepositional phrase, not with the preposition in and an object in the dative, but it's taking the object of the verb in the accusative. Tain thalasan kai tain zeron. You go about the sea and the land. So the point is that I think that the TR is well justified, because it reflects consistent Matthean style. The same usage in Matthew 4:23, found in Matthew 9:35, found in Matthew 23, verse 15. So those are the three variants that are discussed by Metzger in the two editions of his textual commentary. Let me move on to some conclusions. And before I get to some specifics about the verses, this is another place where you see that there are not a huge number of what we could call significant variants, although every variant is significant, because we believe in the integrity of the Word of God, and we believe that every word, every letter is important, because we believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture and the plenary verbal preservation of Scripture. So every word, every letter is important. However, again, this isn't a place where there are significant differences. It reminded me of the discussion in William's book, Can We Trust the Gospels, where he talks about the opening 14 verses to the Gospel of John. The first 14 verses in the Gospel of John are exactly the same in Erasmus's 15:16 and in the Nestle-Aland 28th edition, the Tyndale House Greek New Testament, in the SBL Greek New Testament 2010, in the majority text. And we find many places in the New Testament where, indeed, there are not huge variations. There are not significant variants. Of course, we find places, that's not the downplay, the places where we do find significant variance. But Peter Williams in that discussion says Erasmus was the cleverest man in the world. Without any of the modern scientific tools, he was able to produce a text that is still agreed upon by modern scholars today with respect to John 1:1-14. And we might say something sort of similar for Matthew chapter 4. There are just these two or three places where Metzger chooses to make comment upon them. And we already talked about how insignificant Matthew 4:17 is. On just to review, recap some of the significance, though, things we might point out about these variants. Matthew 4:10 gives us an example of a place where the TR agrees with the modern critical text against the majority text. Matthew 4:10 also provides a place where with what we could call the later Protestant editions of the TR, like that of Stephanus and Beza, agree against Erasmus's first edition of 1516. So this we see, I think, a sort of a consensus that develops among the Protestant editors of the TR, and they don't always agree. Again, we're talking about very minor points, but they don't always agree with the earlier editions of Erasmus. Matthew 4:17 gives us an example of a place where the TR, the modern critical text, and the majority text have exactly the same reading. So it's sort of like John 1:1-14. And then last, Matthew 4:23, oddly enough, is dropped from consideration in Metzger's textual commentary in his second edition of 1994. The modern critical text rests on just one extant Greek manuscript, only Vaticanus. Only Greek manuscript that supports this reading. The TR reading, on the other hand, I think has strong external support. It has strong internal support in that it's consistent with Matthean usage, as we saw in other places within Matthew. And my conclusion isn't going to surprise you. I don't see any need to abandon the Textus Receptus reading at Matthew 4 and verse 23. Well, that is going to bring this edition of Word Magazine to a conclusion. Hope this has been encouraging and edifying to those who are listening. And I will look forward to speaking to you in the next edition of Word Magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.